And welcome to Next Reads, a podcast where we read the first chapter of a young adult or middle grade book to help you figure out what to read next. This podcast might contain language or situations some readers might find offensive or unsettling. The North Liberty Library does not necessarily endorse any author's views, but it does support the freedom of speech and the freedom to read. I'm your host, Kayla, the Youth and Teen Services Librarian at the North Liberty Library. My pronouns are she and her. Welcome, listeners. Today, I'm going to be reading from As If on Cue by Marissa Cantor. She is also the author of What I Like About You, which is her debut novel. So this is her second book. She's a young adult author, amateur baker, and reality television enthusiast. Our book today is A Young Adult 2021. Yesterday was April Fool's Day, and to celebrate that, we have some pranks and mischief going on in this book. Let's read the summary. All's fair in love and prank wars. Lifelong rivals, Natalie and Reed, have never been on the same page. So when their school's art budget faces cutbacks, of course, Natalie finds herself up against her nemesis once more. She's fighting to direct the school's first ever student-written play. But for her small production to get funding, the school's award-winning band will have to lose it. Reed's band. And he's got no intention of letting the show go on. But when their rivalry turns into an all-out prank war that goes too far, Natalie and Reed have to face the music, resulting in the worst compromise, writing and directing a musical together. At least if they deliver a sold-out show, the school board will reconsider next year's band and theater budget. Everyone could win, except Natalie and Reed. Because after spending their entire lives in competition, they have absolutely no idea how to be co-anything, and they certainly don't know how to deal with the feelings that are inexplicably, weirdly, and definitely developing between them. Ooh, so this is a contemporary fiction with romance, humor, emotions, and angst. So this is a first-person narration between the present day and then flashbacks to the past. It's entertaining, and it definitely has a rivals to lovers arc, if you are into that like I am. Some content warnings, anti-Semitism, microaggressions, and bullying. Please take care of yourself first. Without further ado, let's read the first chapter. Chapter 1. It is 6 a.m., and I am debating the opposite of frozen with Reed Callahan. It's melted, I mumble into my pillow, salty because how dare he wake me up before the sun on a Monday? In my current state of bleary-eyed rage, I throw a pillow vaguely in the direction of my doorframe. Where Reed is standing. No way. The opposite of frozen is definitely boiled. I'm serious. Boiled is the only valid title if you're going for a parody. Melted is fundamentally flawed. You're fundamentally flawed. He snorts, and I hear the clink of metal against ceramic, a spoon swirling in cereal. By now, I'm used to Reed in my house in the early hours of the morning, mastering complex arpeggios on the clarinet under the instruction of my father. Reed is pretty much the only person in the entire universe who matches Dad's intensity for a musical instrument, which means he's always here. It's kind of unbearable. Why are you here? I ask. It's Monday, Reed says slowly, as if I don't know the days of the week. Monday morning lessons have been a thing since school started 2 weeks ago and will continue to be a thing that makes Monday even more Monday for the duration of my junior year. I mean, here, Reed, why are you in my bedroom? To pay up, he says. He nods toward my desk where a large iced chai from Kiskadee sits on top of an elephant coaster. Of course, he decides 6 a.m. is the perfect time to deliver my, wow, you actually wrote a play, chai. Winning a bet against Reed Callahan is still always losing, in a way. Your timing is impeccable. I fall back onto my mattress and roll over, facing the wall and closing my eyes in an attempt to return to my dreamscape. Before Reed woke me up with three staccato knocks, I was sitting at a table read for my big budget Broadway play featuring the Chrises. We were staging a fight scene between Pine and Evans. Hemsworth leaned over to whisper in my ear, "You're bloody incredible, Jacobson." And I didn't brush off his praise or downplay my talent. I owned it. Thor called me, Natalie Jacobson, incredible. I felt incredible. In my dream, playwriting is more than a high school hobby. It's possible. Reed flips the switch next to my door and my eyelids twitch as synthetic light tries to push through them. "Don't want you to oversleep." "Thanks," I deadpan, sitting up because I am now officially awake, and Reed has won. I reach for my glasses while my eyes adjust, already plotting my revenge for his ruining of the epic Pine Evans fight scene. "You're welcome." Reed's hazel eyes met mine. They seem to change color depending on what he's wearing. This morning, they pick up his green button-down. "The least you can do is be on time, considering you're wasting Mrs. Molyneux's." "It's so elementary." I almost laugh as I move from my bed to the adjacent desk and start weaving my disaster curls into two disaster braids. Any other day, I'd fire back a snarky retort. Not today. Because today is the culmination of an entire summer writing with my best friend, Henry Chow. Before homeroom, we'll enter scene and deliver a dialogue to Principal Molyneux about why Melted deserves to be our fall play, a performance that has the potential to shift the entire fate of Lincoln High School's drama department. I can't afford to be distracted. "Bye," I say. I shut the door on Reed and reach for the chai on my desk. Straw between my lips, I take a long sip. It doesn't quite taste like victory, but it's still a kiskity chai. Therefore, delicious. I enjoy it, unfazed by Reed's basic insult, because with Melted, I have a chance, a real chance, at convincing Mrs. Molyneux that keeping LHS's drama department intact is just as valuable as new band uniforms. Seriously, Reed's biggest problem is being an outfit repeater. When the school committee announced that significant budget cuts were coming for extracurricular activities at the end of sophomore year, the drama club had an emergency meeting. It was initiated by me and our former advisor, Miss Bryant, who quickly jumped our sinking ship of drama program for a full-time faculty position teaching theater at Boston Arts Academy. But when Reed heard about the cuts, he didn't flinch. It's that obvious. The band is relatively immune from total destruction, thanks to a passionate band director who, over the course of a decade, revitalized the music program from the ground up. That teacher? It's none other than Aaron Jacobson, Reed's teacher. My dad. It's complicated. I pick up the pillow I launched at Reed and toss it on my bed on the way to my closet. Today's aesthetic is comfy and confident, like how Mom would style herself for meetings with her publisher. This is that important. I pull a new floral t-shirt dress off its velvet hanger, rip off the tag, and pair it with a denim jacket and white sneakers. To complete the look, I swipe a clear pink gloss over my lips. Satisfied, I stuff my laptop into my backpack and I'm on the move. Downstairs, the kitchen smells like raspberry hazelnut coffee and burnt toast, the scent of creative anxiety. I pause at the bottom of the stairs when I catch sight of the kitchen table scene. Mom sits at the head of the espresso wood table, staring intently at her laptop screen. Reed's next to my mom, his button down now unbuttoned to reveal a white graphic t-shirt that says, "Music is my forte," with a spoon in one hand and the fundamentals of musical composition in the other. Dad sits across from Reed, sipping on coffee and sorting through papers that spill out of his band Bible, a 3-inch blue binder with his certified nonsensical organizational system. Last year, I created the most beautiful color-coded filing system for his monster binder. He was not pleased. How Dad transformed Lincoln High School's concert band and orchestra into a nationally recognized and award-winning program, yet cannot accept the convenience of alphanumeric order, page numbers, and labels is beyond me. But no matter what, he's always in band mode, his back-to-school haircut still slightly too short, his salt-and-pepper beard slightly too long. My stomach clenches, witnessing the comfortable quiet that is the three of them together. "How's the solo coming?" Mom asks Reed. Reed's eyes flicker up from his reading. "More work ahead. How's the book coming?" Mom closes her laptop and smirks. "More work ahead." He nods and raises his coffee mug. "Solidarity, Aunt Shell." Reed is the only person who can get away with calling my mom any variation of Shell. Aunt Michelle was one syllable too many for toddler Reed. I wish he dropped the aunt. It makes me feel like we're related, which, no, we absolutely are not. Being the children of dads who were childhood best friends does not a family make. "You're too hard on yourself," Dad says, looking up from his organized chaos. "Is it the new music for the homecoming game? Is it a set for his jazz band, Lincoln Street Blues? Who knows?" "Both of you." Reed brushes off Dad's words with a shrug and looks up, his eyes meeting mine from across the kitchen. "Hey, Nat." Enter me, the girl who always seems to arrive before her cue. "Morning," I say, reaching for the box of blueberry Pop-Tarts above the stove. I take the entire box and slide into the chair across from my mom. "You're up early," Mom says. Her hair is a messy bun of curls, now two shades darker than my own from the dye job, masking her gray roots. Beside her laptop are a half-eaten apple and an elephant mug filled with what I'm sure is lukewarm coffee. Plastic purple reading glasses are perched on the tip of her nose as her eyes remain traced on her screen. Nervous? My eyes focus on the apple, its exposed flesh already brown. Better than yesterday, when there was nothing left but seeds and core. On Mom's best writing days, the apple stays untouched, her fingers dancing on the keys, no chance of breaking the rhythm for a bite. On those days, Mom is Michelle Jacobson, New York Times best-selling author of The Lola Diaries. I can't remember the last time Mom forgot to eat her apple. "I'm ready. So, can I read it now?" Mom asks. I perform the shrugging girl emoji. If she reads it, she'll encourage me. She'll critique. She'll call me a playwright. "You can read it when it's real," I say for the thousandth time. "That's what you'd say." "I know, Lee." Mom's voice begs me not to press further, so I don't. Before the pressure to follow up Lola, Mom was a force in publishing and proof that writing could be more than a hobby. Now, I see my mom stare at a blank Word doc for hours. I hear the defeat in her voice when she says, "I know, Lee." And even though my stomach dips, everything inside of me is relieved to not love writing like that, to not be following in her footsteps. I love theater, but writing and directing are hobbies, and that's all they will ever be. I'm not sure what adulting looks like for me. I don't even know what I want to go to college for, but I do know it won't be my parents' life. Dad's symphony orchestra dreams landed him in an overworked and underpaid high school band director. Mom's burnout is so intense, there are days she doesn't get out of bed. I've seen firsthand what art can do to a person who loves it too much. The mental toll of tying your financial security and self-worth to a creative pursuit. "Well, I read it," Reed interjects. "The title needs work." Mom's eyebrows shot up. "Reed read it? Wow, that hurts." I swallow a piece of my Pop-Tart. It's not like I had a choice. "You bet that I couldn't name every Survivor winner," he says, closing his book. "You basically handed it to me." He even named them in order. It was bizarre. I mean, who still even watches that show? It started before we were born. I roll my eyes, but honestly, it wasn't the worst bet to lose. Last week, when he was reading my script at breakfast, he didn't even hear me coming down the stairs. He was so absorbed and melted. Before I made it across the kitchen, he laughed, genuinely laughed, like he got it. It honestly did not compute, because we do not get each other, Reed and me. "It's actually funny," Reed had said, his mouth full of Fruit Loops. "You're funny." Then he smiled at me, and I almost forgot how much I hated him. When I reached for the box of Fruit Loops, and it was empty, I remembered. Mom stands. I guess I'll have to take Reed's word for it. Off to do some productivity sprints? Dad asks. More like prep, Mom says. Now that my syllabus is approved, there's so much prep. Dad waves at his chaos binder like Exhibit A. Relatable. It's going to be Mom's second year teaching creative writing at Emerson College, a side hustle that pays the bills while she impatiently waits for inspiration to strike. And bills we do have. Mom spent most of June in Fort Lauderdale looking for a caregiver for my bubby after she fell down the stairs and broke her hip. In July, our air conditioner busted in the middle of the hottest Massachusetts summer in like 200 years. And a few weeks ago, my dad learned that his budget for new supplies got cut in half, forcing him to purchase new music for the Fall Harvest Festival out of pocket. All summer, it has been one unexpected expense after another. Mom says bad things happen in threes. I say don't pick a career that relies on creative whims to pay the bills in the first place. All romance writers this semester? I ask. Mom nods. Romance is her brand, the literary space where she has made her career. Readers have been waiting nearly 4 years to see how she follows up the Lola Diaries. Maybe it'll be inspiring, Reed says. That's the hope, Mom says. Nirvana always gets me through a long prep session, Dad suggests. Just don't forget Delilah has lessons with Rabbi Sarna at 3. My 12-year-old sister is in full bar mitzvah prep mode, eating, sleeping, and breathing by Yishlach 3640. Mom waves away his reminder. We have a tasting with the caterer after. Dad nods. 4:30. Good luck today, Lee. Mom squeezes my shoulder, then tucks her laptop under her arm and retreats to her office in the name of class prep, leaving me alone with Reed and my dad. Pretty much the worst combination. Before I have a chance to form words, they're in their own musical world. 6 weeks until the Harvest Festival, Dad says. Every fall, the concert band performs at the Lincoln Harvest Festival in Pine Hills Park. The Harvest Festival is a community event filled with hayrides, farm stands with local produce, and so many cider donuts. Pretty much peak fall in New England energy. A few years ago, Dad proposed that it would be a performance opportunity for the band where the marquee event is a classic film score. Past performances have included Casablanca, E.T., and The Wizard of Oz. It's an event that the town has come to anticipate and is excellent, both in terms of the local media attention it receives and the boost it gives to small businesses that participate. Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, is this year's Harvest Festival score. The hype is already building thanks to Aaron Jacobson's local on-screen news debut in a piece highlighting how the band's participation has increased Harvest Festival turnout. The screen time has absolutely gone to his head. It's a cool story, objectively, but the school committee does not need another reason to obsess over the band. Neither does the town, for that matter, because as a town, Lincoln is as average as it gets. Our sports teams are mediocre. We don't have a marching band. Our drama club is small. Our entertainment options are a movie theater, ice skating, a roller rink, and a mall with every store that's in every town. But Lincoln's concert band and orchestra program, they are exceptional. Reed shifts the conversation to his current role, recruitment for the jazz ensemble. We need more percussion, Reed says. Michaela's, I start. Rosalind Levy is sick on the snare, Reed says, cutting me off, which will make up for losing Trisha, I think. Dad nods. Cool, good to know. I wait for Dad to ask me about Michaela's sister, who's an incredible drummer. He doesn't. He continues talking to Reed like I didn't try to speak, like I couldn't possibly contribute something valuable to this conversation, like I wasn't once a musician myself. We won't know for sure until we hear how everyone meshes. I'm invisible. Finally, after another Pop-Tart and what feels like endless band chat, Dad closes his binder and heads to his studio in the basement to set up for Reed's lesson. Reed stands and brings his cereal bowl to the sink, so I reach into my backpack for my laptop, ready for 30 sweet minutes of alone time, just Melted and me. I open the file. It's not too late for Boiled. I jump, my fingers jamming into my keyboard. Why are you so fixated on this? Imagine if Adina could instantly boil anything she touches. She'd be unstoppable, Reed says. Think about it. Artists need to be open to criticism, Natalie. Collaborative. Right. Except we're not collaborators. Reed's jaw tenses. I know. So why are you still standing here? Don't you have a clarinet to blow? Reed nods and takes a step backward. As a matter of fact, I do. He descends the stairs, not missing a beat. His cheeks don't flush, not even when I emphasize blow. Reed woke me up before the sun and co-opted my parents, and I couldn't even make him blush. Everything makes Reed blush. I'm seriously off my game. What a waste of a line, honestly. And that's the end of the chapter. What do you guys think will happen next? We kind of know a lot of this from the summary, but how do you think her presentation about Melted is going to go to the principal? Do you think the band's going to get money? Do you think the theater's going to get money? How do you think this rivalry is going to play out? And what about these pranks? We haven't had any flashbacks for the pranks yet, which I'm really excited about. I hope you found this chapter intriguing enough to check out. And if not, there's always another book just waiting to be discovered. You can check this book out in the library as a physical copy. If you need any help with your library card, let us know. We're always happy to assist. Please check the show notes for some read alikes. And thank you for listening. Join me next time for another Next Reads.